No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
What up, Jay Foreman, Harrison, Jason Peter, old school on this hump day, cold Wednesday, signing day. So we'll dive into that when we'll go way back in the archives when Jason and myself sent in the facts, right? Did you have a fax, Jason? We'll talk about the difference. How many hats did you have? How many hats did you have with you? I could just see you and your dad and your parents with all the hats, how well that would go over.
Not good, right?
Yeah.
That would not go over. That would not be an option in the Peter household.
What was your final three? What was your top three?
Top three, Nebraska. The ones that I really liked that were Miami. And I really had a good time on my trip at Georgia Tech. And they were only, you know, like, I didn't know a ton about college football, kind of, you know, on the East Coast, it was mostly NFL at the time. So like, you could have told me, oh, this program's good. And that program, like, I didn't watch Saturdays. We played high school games, you know, on Saturdays.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't get to watch, you know, all the games and stuff. And obviously with Rutgers being garbage, you know, Penn State kind of got most of the attention. But my three probably would have been Nebraska, Miami, and either Georgia Tech or Washington.
And did you visit Georgia Tech and Washington?
I did. We went down to Georgia Tech, right, you know, right in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I ever been to Atlanta.
Yeah.
And one of the – me and another teammate from Milford Academy up in Connecticut, we went down on the same trip. We got after it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about I tried to, Jason, I've been trying to tell Harrison. Obviously my dad went to Miami.
Right.
And he gets mad at me about the Canes, but he don't understand that visit down to the Canes.
I mean, it's just like
he's too wet behind the ears, man.
You land, and my mom, Harrison, went on all the recruiting trips with me, except for Nebraska. And so we land, and they put her in one car and they put me in another. They take her down to like the academic center.
Mm-hmm.
And the strength coach and like, I think maybe like the linebacker, D line coach, one of them. We go down to South Beach, all the way down to the nude beach. And I mean, it's mostly all nude beach, but there's a section in particular that's definitely nude. And we just walked down the beach for about an hour or two, just talking about winning championships and
the weather
and silicone. Yeah. That was it. Yeah, it was a real deal. You didn't need a bag back then. You just a couple bags.
Yeah. Yeah. Back then they had other outside influences and stuff, man.
Yeah.
You know, Jason, we were talking about signing day and how important it is. What's probably like your fondest memory of like, all right, I made it, right?
Yeah, I mean, you were happy, obviously, when you signed. You know, you're kind of like one of whatever school you're going to, one of Nebraska's most wanted at the point at that time, right? But you know, we obviously were the same time, and you get here and you figure out that's not the way that it is.
Yeah.
Right. Like the moment you walk in the meeting room into Charlie's, you know, office for the first time, or you, you know, walk in and meet, like, you realize, okay, there's no honeymoon here. Like,
it's over. It's over.
That ended a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
And now you were truly starting at the bottom, right? There was no, you know, I'm only coming if I get to, if the job's mine or something like that. That was unheard of. So you came and you were dog crap on the bottom of your shoes. And that's, you know, like, that was your starting point. And that was everybody's starting point, whether you were high school All-American or not. You had to climb your way up from the bottom. Now, I mean, obviously if you showed promise, you might jump a few guys here and there quicker than maybe who, you know, some other guy that maybe might not be as good as you, but yeah, you had to earn everything.
Yeah, it was definitely different. I remember the first time going to that meeting room. I was like, damn. Like,
yeah. And a big difference, because remember, freshmen would come in early, like 4 or 5 days early. Yeah. So, you know, you run around with kids your own age for a few days, and then you think you're, you know, King Kong out there. And then all of a sudden, like, the dudes show up.
Oh, yeah.
It's like right back to being.
Yeah, like, you get it hard. They bring you in, the Harrison. They had like a, I don't know, rookie mini camp or whatever you call it. They kind of learned to play, but so you could just stay out of the way, pretty much.
Yeah,
when the varsity comes in.
Yeah,
and so you're out there like, oh, this is college. You see, you know, I'm doing good. You know, whatever. Them vets come in.
Yeah,
I was like, oh yeah, I ain't playing.
Is that when you hit the weight room?
Not yet. Not yet. My thing is, I came in and Coach Darlington. Coach Steele wanted me to play middle linebacker. Right. Well, Coach Samuel coached the outside linebackers.
Yep.
So they were kind of going back and forth what room I was going in. So Coach Sam, I was in his, and I was late to the first team meeting. And Coach Osborne kind of knew it. So I'm walking in, and I was the last one to go in. The last one to go in as a freshman. And everybody's kind of jacking around before everybody got quiet when Coach Osborne come in. So there was 50 in there?
20? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
In our whatever, in our team meeting room, one seat open. Guess who was next to? His damn brother, Christian Peter. I was looking around, and I felt so defeated. I was like, dang.
How long did you look for another seat?
It wasn't done. Oh, my God. I was like, oh, this is going to be the worst. And he ain't messing with me too much, man, but I was like, damn. He's way bigger than me. I'm sitting there. And I was like, man, the only freshman in there. And I think they had just shaved our heads then, too.
Yeah, because there was a point, too, where they wanted – they weren't just going to treat you, like, with disrespect because you haven't been here. It's like, we're going to really let them know they are at the complete bottom of any sort of – you know, however you want to describe it. There's nowhere else for them to go. They are like dirt out on the ground. That's it. That's your value. And they took joy in that. Like, that's the thing. It's not like they didn't feel bad for doing it. They enjoyed doing it.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, man. It was the first year is the roughest. If you make it through the first, to the season.
Yeah.
Then it gets a little bit. Yeah, it's rough.
It's, you know, we're always talking about culture here, right? Like, it's the big word, especially of Nebraska football. And that was part of the culture. Like, you weren't getting carried off as a true freshman after beating UCLA. You know what I mean? As a quarterback or whoever it may be. You just weren't. Like, you just beat a crappy team. Big deal. Like, we expect you to do, like, it's the expectation. That's the difference in cultures, right? Like, you're expected to play hard. Like, they're talking about the new DC. Like, we got to find someone who's going to get all 11 to play hard. Why is that even up for debate? I don't care who the coordinator is. I don't care if it's you, Harry. Like, guys, that they're not playing hard. Like, you can't get them to play hard. Like, that should be a given. Like, if you're even contemplating stepping on the field at Nebraska, boom, he checks the box. He plays hard. Because if you don't play hard, you don't deserve to be out there. It's that simple. You know, those are you talk about culture. Those are the two different cultures that we're living in right now. The one that we used to know and the one that we are now.
Yeah, I mean, I always tell the fear that I had. I mean, Charlie was scary. When I was a freshman, I mean, my dad was scary, but it's different when you're down here in Nebraska and I've seen Charlie losing on people, you know, and because I wasn't playing as a redshirt, but as a redshirt freshman, I was starting. And so he would get, you know, you were fearful of Charlie, but he wasn't my position coach. You know what I'm saying? And so I was more fearful of like letting my teammates down, because if you didn't play hard, and now you can't do that anymore. Obviously, seeing the stuff up there with, which is significantly different with Northwestern. You just can't do it, but you can distill. I still think you can demand it, though.
Well, you can't haze, and you can't do that sort of stuff. Right?
If a guy was out loafing when we played, this is honest to God true. This is honest to God true. I guarantee you. Matter of fact, Missouri, somebody got punched in the face because they weren't playing good. You get what I'm saying? You probably can't do that now, because if that happened on the sideline, the guy that did the punching would be gone.
Right.
Because you would be killed on social media. So Jason's right. I think whoever comes in, this is like a non-negotiable. That's why I would say that we talk about it all the time. Me and you, obviously, one-on-one, but on the radio, we just had non-negotiables.
Right.
And it wasn't even – then once you have non-negotiables, it just becomes – it's just – it's how you operate.
Right.
Like, you know, a loaf – well, we called it a loaf, right? If you had a loaf or like turn down a hit –
right.
Or something like that. We were talking about Jackson Dart. Like that, look, you on the side, you in bounds, you're getting hit. Period. Now within the rules, and before you even worry about scheme, you just gotta just dial those things, you know, get that clear and say, slide this over to whoever.
Yeah.
And say, that's it. You know, and that needs to be every position group. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And you know, there's just, and I don't want to just cherry pick here, but you know, like in the last game. You know, I mean, since we're talking about culture, like you see a significant player, a guy that has been talked about a lot in you know, from down there. But going into the locker room or going into the tunnel at pregame, right after pregame is over, and he stops to kiss and hug his girlfriend. Do you know what Bill Belichick's entire motto was on in when he won all of those championships? Remove distractions.
Yeah.
Right? Remove distractions. You are 30 minutes from kickoff and you can't walk by your girlfriend without shooting a TikTok or whatever it is, or giving her a kiss, or like, where is your mind at? Do you know? I mean, you just got embarrassed. It laughed off the TV screen a week before, not even a full week, 6 days before out in Happy Valley. And you, like, I don't get it. That's the hardest thing for me, is I can't understand how these kids think. You're 30 minutes from kickoff. You mean to tell me your girlfriend can't live without a kiss and a hug and all that crap? Like, your mind should be starting to get ready for the game the moment you wake up in the morning. In fact, it started for us when we left the movie theater the night before.
Like Friday night, Thursday or Friday. Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me? Like, it's football time now, right? It's football time. It doesn't mean that you don't love that person or you don't care about that person, whoever it is over there that's waiting, right, you know, on the fence or whatever. Like, it doesn't – it's just now is football time. Now is football time. And that's what I don't understand. Like, I mean, could you imagine – like, I would never even have the balls while my team is walking back into the tunnel – to stop and kiss my girlfriend. Are you kidding me, Jay? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I'd be more worried if Jay and those guys and Grant and everybody saw me do it.
Yeah, it would be, you wouldn't, the locker room environment.
It's just embarrassing. Yeah. It's soft. Yeah. It's soft.
It's a little bit different.
I don't care which way you cut it. It's soft. It's soft, soft.
I think these dudes, and I learned this from coaching basketball. And I just think in college football in general, and these kids, they see, I think because they don't watch the games.
Right.
So they watch, like, I don't know, TikTok or whatever.
Oh, so they see the NFL guys, you know.
Right, that's what I was going to say. Because my basketball players,
right,
you know, like, they don't, like, I won't allow them to emulate somebody, but they, like, how they warm up and all that stuff. Yeah. They'll see Golden State Warriors do something. Then all of a sudden, I got a bunch of Steph Currys.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I think that's where
I'm sure they see, because I thought, well, you know, this is happening now. You see a lot of especially the NFL. You see the player come over and they give, and you know what? Number one, I don't give a crap what they're doing at other colleges.
Yeah.
You're not NFL players. So once you get to that level, then you want to start kissing your girlfriend on the sideline, fine. But for right now, you're basically a glorified high school kid that doesn't know how to control emotions, that doesn't know, you know, like, who knows? Maybe he while he's going, he sees the girlfriend look at some other dude, you know? Like, is this guy's head going to be screwed on for the next 60 minutes? You know what I mean? Eliminate distractions. They encourage him. They got girlfriends over at the team hotel the night before that are allowed in the lot. Like, are you serious? Like, these are distractions. And we wonder why we can't beat a good football team. I mean, that's the reality. We're dog shit. Like, that's the reality. Sorry for that. I figured the S word was better than if I dropped a bunch of F words. It's hard. Right now, I really wish this was a podcast. But you know, that's just the reality of it. Like, I'm sorry. Like, it's, do you want a program where everybody's just hunky dory and we're all friends? And, you know, like, yeah, we've talked about the culture in our deal where it was, you didn't have to like everybody, you got to love everybody. Yeah. You know what I mean? And that has its own meaning, right? Like, but the reality is, like, yeah, I mean, we talk about needing dogs down there and you talk about this fight, but what, the culture that's being bred down there is not conducive to creating dogs. Do you know? I mean, that's the reality. The reality is the two NFL guys you had last year, those guys were in the works anyway. You know, like Mike Dawson deserves a lot of credit. I was working with Ty for 4 years. You know, like you got them in their fifth year and their sixth year. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, give me a break. Like, so like those two, yeah. Those are the type of player that we're looking for, but there ain't nothing close to that on the field right now, right? I mean, I just think it's there's some sort of disconnection or how you think that this, how you can achieve this and how we're actually going about it. Because doing scavenger hunts over the winter, bringing in fancy lecturers and stuff like that, not creating dogs. Not creating the type of players that you need. So I don't know. We can either be more interested in posting Instagram reels or we can all just shut our mouths, right? Players, coaches, everybody, just shut your mouth and just work. Keep the main thing,
right.
Football.
Right.
Right? No more flying to Vegas before the week of Michigan. No more concerts, you know, in your bye week. Like, you don't get a life. I'm sorry. Like when you're getting paid $10, $11 million a year, right? Like there's some sacrifice. You don't get a life. So that means maybe you don't get to fly to Vegas to see Bud Crawford fight before the Michigan game. Do you know? Like these are sacrifices that I'm sorry. We expect you to make when you take the job and you get paid that kind of money. Plain and simple. I don't think I'm asking for too much there. I mean, it's funny, you know, like I saw something, an article in the New York Times. They talked about the offensive lineman and the kid that from Council Bluffs or whatever. But they're talking about Iowa, right? And they're talking about how in the building they have all of, you know, the guys that the sheriff and all the other all Americans, right? And they all got their pictures and they're a reminder, right? Of the greatness that came before them, what they're striving for, right? They took down all of the All-American portraits that were down there in Memorial Stadium. They're up in a fourth floor corner office,
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, Visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Losing my train of thought now. You know, some power strip where they got all the, you know, one spark away from being all torched. But that's the difference right now. That's the difference. Like, you have one that embraces their past, who they are, what they're trying to be. We have another one that's totally just trying to rewrite everything down there now. You got all the new traditions. You got, you know, single digit. You got all this other stuff. You got sophomores as captains. You got transfers that got here 2 months ago as captains. And we scratch our head wondering why we haven't been successful. Are you kidding? Come on, man. Sorry. I had to get that out. I just had to. I mean, it's just some things need to be said, I think. And it's just, it's about time. Like, wake up, man. Wake up. Like, you people just automatically, like, stop focusing on words. Focus on the football. People ask me all the time, what do you think? Don't listen to the words. Don't believe. Now, and this is not, you know, this is goes for any coach, right? Like, any coach that's trying to tell you. You don't have to tell me that there's progress. I can see whether there's progress by the field, right? By the team, by the way that they go about their business, by the way they do things, right? That's don't listen to, you know, who's ever in front of the microphone. Like, because I can tell you all about, you know, the amount of things that the Joe Moore Award that we were going to win. People in wheelchairs were figuring to stand up. The D-line was going to be hell on wheels. We were going to college football playoff. We were going natties. I mean, all this stuff came out from microphones down there, right? All of it. Do you think people, like, we've become what Colorado was or is?
Yeah.
Just talk, run your mouth, right? Get your ass kicked. And then what? We just do it all over again next year, right? That's it. I mean, that's what we've become. Like, so. You got to make up your mind. Like, who do you want to be? Is it more important to win the offseason, or is it more important to actually win the games that matter? Right? Because the reality is next year, there's a storm coming. There's a storm coming. You're not getting away with what happened this year. I mean, next year, you got some teams that you're going to have to deal with. So anybody that wants to tell me that this was progress this year with that schedule and barely beating crappy teams, please. Please go sell that to somebody else, right? I'll judge it by what you give me from August to December. That's it. That's how I judge you. Not by what you're talking about, not by words, not by, you know, all this, this guy's, the progress that he's made. It's been tremendous. Are you serious? Do you think that we just invented football in Nebraska yesterday? Like, that's a slap in everybody's face. Like, you think we don't know what great quarterback play looks like here? Are you kidding me? There's a guy 40 minutes up the road here. He'll show you what great quarterback play looked like, and he was a warrior out on the field. Team leader, not a captain, right? But team leader, team general. I just sweating now. I'm all hot. God dang it.
We got to take a break, man. Back, second segment, Jay Foreman, Jason Peter, Harrison on the ones and twos. Moving along, Jason, what'd you think? Obviously, the bigger news, obviously, besides signing day was John Butler being let go.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, he had a year loaded with, you know, one big giant elephant in the room, and that was, you know, not being able to stop the run,
yeah,
sort of deal. I don't know. There, you know, there were some things that Coach Rule said afterwards, you know, or explaining, you know, like, John was never really the right fit for me. You know, that kind of raised some flags. Well, then why was he hired?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I don't think John wanted to run a 3-3-5, right? That's not where he kind of.
Well, I don't know what. I mean, well, he only called plays at Penn State, I think. He was more a DB coach in the league.
I mean, this is my thing. When you're breaking out of fall camp and stuff, even spring ball, like, you see the personnel that you have, right? Like, as a coach, whether head coach, D coordinator, D line coach, you name it, you got to be able to look at the guys that you have and be like, oh man, if we're lining up in a 30, do you know, like, we will not be able to stop the run, like, right, with this personnel, with these guys. So maybe we need to do something else, right? Like, yeah, you like know,
four man front,
I mean, right? Like, I mean, come on, like, everybody knows, you know, if you asked, if you pulled 10 people out on the street here, do you know, like, what type of football are you going to get in the Big Ten? You know, there's probably going to be a lot of running the football, you know, physical football, right? Like, and if you don't have the dudes up front, and personally, I don't really buy into that, like, this whole size thing and everything. Like, look, we had basically one big guy on the field, you know, like in 95 and even like through 97. I mean, I don't think, I mean, I guess would fit in that category, but I wouldn't describe 278 as like a big guy. Do you know, like, when you're 300, I mean, and Christian was a 300 pounder. Yeah. Wiltsy was a 300 pounder. Ogard was a three plus. But you know, like, Tomich was 260. Grant was 250. I was 278. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's how you play the game. It's how you get off on the ball. It's how you use your hands. It's how you get rid of blocks. It's if you step, like, I watched their footwork. Let me back it up. First off, you have a defensive end that now has lined up in the neutral zone again and lined up offsides. Like, I'm sorry, you're an end. You put your hand down in the dirt and you look in to see the ball and see if you're lined up offsides or not. Like, you don't have to be talented at all. I could get anyone off the street and tell them that. And that's how you, like, there's no excuse for defensive ends being lined up in the neutral zone. I can understand if you jump a little bit and get in there, but lining up, you literally are one of the guys that can see the ball the easiest when you're down in your stance. Put your hand down, turn your head in, and see if you're offsides. That's it. That's just a discipline thing. That's just a repetitive thing that you create for yourself during the week in practice, right? Like, so to be lined up in neutral zone, you know, multiple times throughout the year, to me, that's just bad penalty to take. You know, that's just bad. But yeah, I don't buy into it. Like, our defenses in the 90s were like, we could run. You know, like, we didn't have a ton of huge guys. Like, we were strong, the dudes that we, you know, even like, you know, some of the undersized linebackers were strong and would, you know, try to knock your teeth out when they hit you. But I don't know. It's more kind of excuses. You know, we're not big enough. We're not this. We're not that. We don't have this. We don't have that. Like, geez. I mean, I thought we were in good shape at the start of the season, according to what everything that was being said. You know, now all of a sudden it's like, we're so deficient in this, we don't have enough money here, we can't do this, we can't do that, we can't do this. Like, is that just a product of losing? Like, to me, I don't know. I just think that Nebraska should be in the hunt more for, you know, I mean, we're taking B level, C level teams and making games out of those. Like, you know, but to me, I don't understand, you know, even when it comes to the money thing, like, if we can't beat Minnesota now, if, you know, we have a hard time beating, you know, average teams where we have more money than them now, what makes you so sure that just more money is going to solve all of our problems? I don't understand that part of it. There's just a lot of stuff that in this college game, I guess, that people keep trying to tell me are different, but but I can't really necessarily see how some of them are connected here. Whatever. I'm just I'm babbling now.
Yeah. Well, college football is different. The game ain't changed though.
The game has not changed.
Yeah.
Right.
I think I wanted to ask you is like, I think, you know, the one thing Harrison told me, I didn't hear it, but he said, you know, which I think, and then Coach Rule actually said, said the right thing, where it's like, he just wants somebody to win with his players, right, Harrison? Mm-hmm. Is that what he said?
Yes. Before the Iowa game, was along the lines of, essentially, we need to up our roster, better talent, and then Rule, on what he's looking for in a defensive coordinator at the end of the season, said exactly that. I want somebody who would
take what we got and win with it. And that's the mentality that you need to start with. Everybody always asks, you know, like I always tell people, just because you call a 4-3 doesn't mean you're going to stop the run. You could put 85 guys up there if you want. Yeah, I'm seriously.
Right. I know.
You could. I was saying you could run the old 6'2 stack monster from that movie that I seen Tom Cruise in he goes, right? You would do that. Remember the linebacker?
That's not fast.
The linebacker was going. He was going to. He was going to Miami too, Harrison. He's from the Iron Range or whatever.
6'2 stack monster.
Yeah, but. Or you could run old 50. Nebraska ran the old 50 where they had 5 D linemen, 2 linebackers, and it was pretty much 8 guys up front.
Yeah.
But really, you just got to play the right way and learn how to play and mesh together. That was their biggest problem. And it's a mentality, too. Like, you know, 9-on-7, there is no go, no matter what, right? And it's, you know, you got to play with your hands, you got to play with good leverage. And so whoever is going to be calling the plays, you got to really have the non-negotiable that you're going to play physical. Obviously, you're going to play hard. You're going to play physical. But you're going to play together and for each other.
Right.
Because there's going to be times that you're going to have to do things that's not in your best interest. Right? Like, we ran the bubble defense. My ass had to get up there and line up like essentially as the 3 technique. But that's a dump busting button too?
Yeah, you can't. I mean, man, you guys. Yeah,
okay. Just light. All right.
You can't say that.
I'll double check, but I'm pretty sure. Well, I mean, double check on the SEC.
I mean, Nick Saban's dropping S bombs on ESPN.
Though. Well, coaches. I mean, Pat McAfee just kind of ripped the script.
Yeah, he did. Didn't he? We're not on that level yet.
Yeah, ESPN just has to eat the.
So when we ran a bubble defense, Coach McBride got it from Florida State.
Right.
Where a linebacker comes up and he's like a little bit behind the defensive line, but you're in the count.
Yeah.
You're almost like a 3 technique at times.
Yeah.
What allows everybody else to do
singles everybody
up. Well, it doesn't work well for me, right? I mean, seriously.
Right.
This isn't about us, but I'm just talking about the mentality of I hated it, but until I got over me hating it,
right?
Then when I was fighting it, right, I wasn't doing it well. I wasn't playing like to my best ability. Finally, I was like, I got to figure this out, right? And then we went down to the pit. The point is, when you play good defenses, you have to, you know, I might have to go hit the note or hit the center and Olgard comes down. I might have to hit Jason's guy and knife in there and he comes around. Eventually, the play is going to come to you.
Right.
But you have to do everything within the defense in order for it to work. So then when we got into third down and we showed the bubble and I dropped in coverage, well, then somebody's got to win.
Right.
That's where they need to get to and understand holistically. Like, you can get your, like, I'm like, you can get all the money you want, right? Because they're going to pay you.
Yeah.
So take it all, right? Yeah. Pay it, get whatever you want. But when you get into the stadium, like, that's over.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what Jason's talking about, like, where we were. So, our payment was essentially getting 3 or 4 square meals a day and a place to lay our head and some change in our pocket. That was our scholarship check. That was our money, right? Our cost of living check. But when we got here, it was essentially de-star you, essentially. Yeah. You know, like, you started over. Like, everybody had to start it because there's going to be kids that come in that started in high school. They're not going to play next year. And then you just got to work your way up. But everybody's getting paid, so that's not going to change. Like, all the plays and stuff they do, they're a little bit more aggressive in the pass game. They run a little bit different. They run, like – they run some gaps and all that, but you prepare for that all week. So really, when you have it dialed in, you're gonna play to your standard. The ability to play together is what they need to really amp up, and it doesn't really matter who's out there,
right?
You know what I'm saying? Because once you do that, you have a unit. Then you're one unit together is better than just having, you know, one or two good guys.
And whoever you bring in as coordinator, you got to let him do what he does. There's a reason why you're looking or wanting this guy here, right? He does something pretty good, right? So don't put handcuffs on him and you know, say, well, we want you to more be like this. I even think it's part of that with Dana. Like, let him come and run the air raid. Do you know, like, he's here now. Do you know what I mean? Like, let him do what he does best. Let him do what he does best. It's not necessarily what I would have envisioned, you know, like, you know, more, I think we were all kind of thinking, hopefully something like what Michigan looked like under Harbaugh, where they're pounding the ball, big personnel, you know, we got a quarterback that can run a little bit, you know, and now it's kind of taken on a different life here. And it just, I don't know. I think it's like asking, you know, a pass rusher, a great pass rusher, to be just now all of a sudden great at run stopping, and a great run stopper who can't rush the passer, to now, you know, like, got to let him do what he's going to do. I mean, I'm pretty sure in the air raid they still run the ball, right? Like, it's not like it's just throwing. But I'm just saying, like, we're at a point now, like, is that going to be the excuse here? You know, like, do we fire Holgorsen at the end of next year and be like, well, he didn't really fit, you know, like, it wasn't really, well, he's here. He's here now. Right. So let's let him, I mean, to use their phrase, you know, like, let the man cook, right. Let him cook. I mean, he's in there. So I don't know. I just, you know, like, it's the same, you know, you bring in a new coordinator, you kind of got half of the defensive staff or more even set. I mean, if you're looking at a big time coordinator, chances of him coming, if most spots are already filled, like, those guys usually want to bring some of their own guys.
Yeah, at least one or two.
Do you know? Yeah. Usually, I mean, it's kind of
just trying to think in the pros, because we didn't have any turnover. I've had coordinator turnover. You know, Vic came in, right. You know, and he didn't, he just kind of coached whoever,
right?
You know, with whoever. But then, like, when Greg, you know, it was all his dudes, but he was the head coach, and, you know, so it's a little different. You know, I think when you take a coordinator position, I would be, at least I could speak for myself, I'd be like, all right, let me see who's down there, see if I can, you know, work with them,
right?
And then go from there. I want to make the decision. And then, more importantly, you know what you want. I think the biggest thing you can do is just the communication from top down, you know, from Charlie to Kevin Steele to Charlie himself, the D-line coach, because he was the coordinator, to Coach Sam, to Coach Darlington. Long as everybody's knowing what the deal is and they're making it their own, then just let it go. That's where I think whoever comes in, whether it's Phil Snow staying or whoever comes in, they just got to make sure they hit the ground right. Communication is key.
Right.
Yeah. Like, that's it. Yeah. Like, you know, how Charlie communicated was out of...
It was unique.
But, boy, you knew exactly where you was at, and how Coach Sam would say the same thing, but it just be in a different tone. Right. And then Coach Darlington, he would just be just giving you just body blows, know? And so, you know, Coach Darlington would just be, you know, he'd tell you, like, that's why you ain't play DB, you know? So it's I think whoever comes in has got to just bring a mentality, and guys got to adhere to it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's – you've seen it.
There's nothing else you can do. I mean, if, like, there needs to be a standard in terms of, you know, like, the effort and all that stuff. There needs to be, you know, it's a given. Like, we started the show, like, you play hard. If you wear red and white, you play hard. But there also needs to be accountability on the side of the staff's part of if guys don't do that, then they need to be sitting next to you for a little bit. Yeah. If they don't produce out on the field, then they need to be sitting next to you for a series or two. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that's just the reality. Like, they'll never understand unless you pull them off the field. That's the most important thing. It should be the most important thing for them is playing time, right? But if you let them continue to play and keep producing bad results, how do they learn? I mean, look, Tommy Frazier got benched in the national championship game.
for a couple series or whatever it was, right? Scott Frost got benched. The Jalen Hurts got benched in a national championship game. Like, if those guys can be benched in those environments, then Dylan can be pulled, or whoever, TJ, whoever it is, can be pulled for a series or two when we're playing Houston Baptist or one of these other, you know, glorified high schools, or even if it's Northwestern, whoever it may be. But like, there has to be accountability. If there's, you never back up your words, then eventually they just, well, whatever. Coach is telling us we got to play hard, but what's he going
to
do?
Yeah. You know? Yeah. You need to, I always wonder if you could, like, if the type of leadership.
How many black shirts were pulled this year? Yeah. Defense was pretty damn bad, right?
Yeah.
How many black shirts were pulled? Was there any?
Oh, any? I will tell you, after Washington, when Jerome got his black shirt pulled, and I saw his reaction, I was like, oh, I mean, I know I played decent. We played good enough.
Right.
But I was like, oh, no, I can't never go through that. Straight up. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Straight up. I mean,
you work so hard to get that thing. Yeah. And then it's taken away and in front of your peers and all that stuff.
You
come out
there and you, right? You know, we had yellow jerseys for the second team. I never forgot it, man. It's been I don't know how many years.
But yeah, that's my point. There was plenty of opportunities this year to pull black shirts.
Yeah,
as far as I heard, not one was pulled.
Yeah, well, some guys got benched, but they, you know, whatever. Anyways, we'll take a quick break. Come back, put a bow on this bad boy. Jay Foreman, Jason Peter Harrison. We'll be right back. Well, we're back. Jay Foreman, Harrison, JP. Quick segment. Hours go by too fast. We'll have to get a podcast going or something, man. Off season is going. So, Jason, what do you want to see? I guess in the bowl game.
We don't know where we're going, right?
Do we know yet, Harrison? It's either Vegas or Nashville, right?
Yeah, it's going to be Music City Bowl or it's going to be the Vegas Bowl. And would that be Utah or
LSU or Missouri?
LSU? Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I think. Who's a better matchup? I mean, Utah, because there's just going to be a lot of distractions still down there in Baton Rouge. You know, you're going to have some players that
LSU would be the best.
I wouldn't be surprised if Lane even encourages some of those guys not to play, right? Because he doesn't want all his good players. He wants to make sure that they're coming back. Yeah. They're ready to go. The ones that are returning, right? Like, clearly he doesn't care who he
rubs wrong.
Yeah. Right.
What do you think about what Lane did?
Oh, I think it's cold blooded. I mean,
right.
those guys are getting ready for the college football playoff, trying to win a national championship.
Yeah.
I mean, I can only imagine what he's been telling them for the last 6 years. Do you know what I mean? Like, or and now
6 weeks.
Yeah. And now what? Like, to be honest, The LSU job will probably be open again in 3-4 years.
Right.
You know what
I mean?
If
he would have stayed.
Right.
Yeah.
Or, and who knows? They say he wants Bama even more. I think DeBoer's probably looking for, a Midwest job to open up, or Penn State or something like that. He's been mentioned there recently, you know, lately as Penn State, but God, talk about screwing up your search.
Man, you let music stop. And there ain't no chick. You know what that is? You know what Penn State is? Analogy is that? The first damn team meeting, and I only got one damn chair to sit next to Christian. It's their only choice. Hey, I don't like you, but I learned to love you right now, right? So, anyways, appreciate you listening. Jay Foreman, Jason Peter, Harrison. We'll holler at you next week.